Hey there, I'm Rachel Aaron, and you're listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Get inspired as we discuss creative resources, trends in piano pedagogy, ways to grow your income and streamline your studio, and new ways to engage your students each week. If you are a teacher who wants to go beyond the method books to create an innovative studio that fosters lifelong music makers, you've come to the right place. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing Susan Staples Bell. If your students have played any of Susan's music, you know how fun and creative it is, and you are about to find out that Susan is just as fun and creative as her compositions. I had a great time getting to know Susan, and I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Susan Staples Bell is equal part composer and instructor, with her main focus being on creating exciting sheet music and educational resources for piano teachers and their students. She loves to draw students in with some fun music, then intrigue them when they discover there's really lots more learning here than meets the eye. Susan has served the music community for over 30 years in various positions: church musician, accompanist, praise band pianist, and choir and handbell director, middle school band director, and piano instructor. For the last decade, her studio has been in the San Antonio, Texas area. Each of these positions has given her unique experiences that shape the music she writes. Here's my interview with Susan. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little about your teaching studio and business?
Hi, Rachel. Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here. I've been a piano teacher for a really long time, and I was blessed to teach students all over the world. My husband was in the Navy for 30 years, so we moved all over the world, and 9 times, by the way, and I had to rebuild my studio every time we moved. But when my husband retired, we moved from Virginia to Texas, and I've been in the San Antonio area for 11 years. I currently have an active studio of 25 students. We enjoy 2 recitals a year. We play in the San Antonio Ragtime Festival, participate in Achievement Auditions, which is our local MTNA chapter, and we do some fun piano parties. But that's my studio. My music business, it was my lifelong dream to publish, and the internet has made that possible. So I started publishing at Sheet Music Plus in 2019. And I opened my website in March of 2022.
Wow. So that's pretty recent. You haven't been publishing music for that long, and you have so much of it.
I work really hard. I have over 400 pieces on my website, and I have 85 arrangements at Sheet Music Plus. Yeah. When I retired, I decided, you know, I'm going to give my whole heart to this. And I guess I'm really not really retired because
it doesn't sound like it.
I teach piano students, and I'm the pianist at First United Methodist Church in New Braunfels. So I do all the cantatas and all that stuff, choir practice and company every Sunday. And then, of course, I run my website, which I do everything myself. You know, I do marketing and, you know, everything. So, yeah, but it's so cool. I love it. And it keeps me active and involved. And it's fun.
That's amazing, Susan. Oh, I'm so excited to get to learn more about you today. So can you tell us how you got started in composing? You told us kind of how you started publishing, but did the composition start before that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of been part of who I am all my life. I started piano when I was 6 with a traditional teacher who used to hit my hands with a ruler, you know. But then when I got into middle school, my parents kind of bribed me with jazz lessons. So I started taking lessons with Red Camp. And he was a kind of a famous jazz musician in the 50s, but he taught me about chords and improvisation. So I started noodling and kind of having fun. And then in middle school, some of my friends said, hey, let's play together. And I said, well, I can write it down. So I started arranging and in middle school and high school. And then, of course, I started teaching like 1990 piano students. And so I've been writing for them for years. So, yeah, just part of who I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Wow. Can you kind of give us a broad overview of the music that you've written and published? Like, are they mostly arrangements or originals, and the levels, whatever you want to share with us about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Wow, all of the above. You know, I've written for concert band. I've written for jazz ensemble. I've written for church choir, originals and arrangements. I've written for handbell choirs, mostly arrangements. But for my piano students, I try to use a wide range of styles. I've done arrangements. Like I said, I have 85 pieces over sheet music plus, and those are all arrangements, like Lean on Me and Top Gun and stuff like that. But now that my brand has started to be a little bit better known, I'm focusing more on originals. On my website, I have piano solos, I have duets, trios, multi-level ensembles, and I've even started writing method books for lead sheets.
Oh, interesting. So teaching people how to read lead sheets?
Yeah. So my first book was out at Christmas time. I did 20 favorite Christmas songs, all from the very beginning, how to read lead sheets, what to know, what to do. And it took you from Jingle Bells, which was the very beginner, like we're in the key of C and just play a C chord, all the way up to In the Bleak Midwinter, which by then we've introduced a bunch of different patterns, but it's a more intermediate style with flowing left hand. And what do you do? How to read chord symbols, what to do with your left hand. And so that was the first book and it was hugely popular. So now I've just come up with easy lead sheets. That's again, from the very beginning, but it's only focused on C major. So I give you 9 different lead sheets that I teach you. Well, first we're going to learn what is the C chord and I tell you what it is. And then I say, the next song, let's just play the name of like the root notes, like a C and a G, you know. So, and the 9 teaching lead sheets like that have backing tracks. So teachers can just pull out one song and say, okay, a group of 6 kids, we're going to play it. And we play it 4 times. And so it's very interactive. It's a lot of fun. And so that just focuses on C major. Book 2, I haven't started yet, or I'm thinking about it, but it's going to explore other keys, maybe just the major scale keys. And then hopefully book 3 will focus on minors, but modes. I love modes. So I think that would be a really good. And then I provide about 25 extra lead sheets in the back so you can practice all the skills that we learned.
That's fantastic. I think that teachers are going to definitely want to check that out because so many of us are not very comfortable with lead sheets ourselves, but I know that that's something that students want to learn. So we can maybe learn right along with them.
Yeah. And it's a really handy skill as a church accompanist. Sometimes I'm asked to play with a praise band. And so, you know, they just give me a chord chart. So I have to make it all up. And I've been a praise band before too. So that's right in my wheelhouse. But also, you know, they brought me a piece the other day and say, oh, well, it's in the key of A, but we really wanted an F. You know, what can you do? I was like, okay, well, let me just take a second. So knowing the chords, even in traditional music, I can just look at something. Oh, that's a C chord. And I can work around that. You know what I mean? I don't have to read every note on the page. And it just gives me some freedom.
Yeah. Recognizing the patterns and the chords. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you talk to us a little about your inspiration? Where do you get your inspiration, especially for some of your original music? Because it is so creative. I would love to know where you get these ideas from.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing about inspiration is it can come from anywhere. And as long as I know what the idea is that I want to express, that's where I have to go for my inspiration. So it's different for every song. For instance, I have a series called Castle Tales. Castle Tales was kind of inspired by my love of medieval music and modes, as I mentioned, but also you hear medieval music in video games. Our son is a 3D video game artist and he got me into playing. I can't tell you any of the names, but he picks them out and says, here, mom, do this. And I noticed the music and I said, oh, that's really, I love the way that sounds. And I love creating music that express emotions and tell a story. I think Castle Tales, you know, loving that kind of music, but also I would look for pictures of castles and then I would try to imagine, well, what kind of story happens here, you know, and how can I express that musically? So each one's different, but, you know, for instance, I have a collection called Galactic Adventures, and that was for my elementary students who love space. And how can you describe space? Well, the quintessential space description is the whole tone scale, right? So one of the songs used that. But yeah, I think if I know what I'm trying to describe, then I look for inspiration in it and it fits together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So I'm curious, when I sit down at the piano and try to compose, everything always sounds the same. Like I end up in the same keys, the same chord progressions. How do you keep your music from not all sounding the same, but maybe still sounding like you? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that comes back to if you know what the question is or what the idea is, everyone's going to be different, right? If you sit down and you try to describe raindrops, it's going to sound different than thunder. I know that's all part of a storm, but if you have something to focus on, I think it's better instead of I used to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to play something in G flat. Well, you know, yeah, it might all sound the same but if you change your way of thinking to saying, I want to describe this, what would it sound like? So for instance, in one of my collections, I have For the King, you know, so it's like a battle cry. It's got to sound bold. It's got to be very strong. I think that really knowing what your topic is can drive your inspiration and make it sound different. However, there is some things that I think that are me that come out in the songs, you know, my style. There's several elements that I focus on. For instance, I really believe strong melody or singable melody. If it's not stuck in my head as I'm working on it, it's not right yet. So that's really important. I think the harmonies are really important. I try never to do 5-7-1. You know, that's so predictable, right? I'd rather do a sus chord or a D or a C, you know, or something that's a little bit different that will say, oh, you know, that's cool. I love for students, I think it's important to have patterns they can grab onto. So if I introduce a rhythmic pattern, you're going to see it maybe in different notes, different places, but it's going to be the same rhythm a lot. So, and then maybe the last time you see it, it might be a little different. Like, oh, she, you know, caught us off guard with that one, you know, that sort of stuff. And I think they should be fun. You know, when I turned 50, I thought if music's not fun, I don't want to do it anymore. So I kind of jumped out there and I'm 60 now. So I've been at it for 10 years trying to make it fun. I think that attracts my students. You know, if it's the same old, they get bored real quick.
Yeah. And I think that's probably why so many piano teachers have connected with your music is because it is very fun. Can you share maybe a couple of fun pieces? I don't know if you want to play them or just tell us about a couple of the fun creative, some of your favorites.
Yeah, wow. There's so much to choose from.
I know there is.
I know. I might. Okay. Yeah, maybe I could. So Galactic Adventure is full of lots of, this is elementary. I think my sweet spot for writing is kind of late elementary to intermediate.
Okay.
I figure if I'm having trouble playing, it's too hard, you know. So Funky Gecko is on the edge. It's advanced or early advanced. It's got some syncopated 16th notes, which is really cool. I love that one. One of my favorites from Galactic is called Path to Destiny. And actually, it's a trio, but it was so popular, I made it as a solo. And I don't know if this is going to work, but I can try it. You can tell me if you hear this. So there's lots of options playing this song, but I'm going to play it kind of the grown-up way with some octaves in the left hand. The little kids would just play one note, but I'm gonna embellish if that's okay. Here we go. Path to Destiny, strong melody, bold adventures into the future. Here we go. But it's very, I had some students play that as a duet. It's actually written for trio, but we did it as a duet. There were two fourth grade boys, and they're just like, oh, it's the coolest song I've ever played ever, you know? So they love that. Dun, 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 dun. That was one boy, and the other boy had the melody. Da, 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 you know, so that's a fun one.
That's really fun. So when you say trio, is it three kids at one piano?
Correct. You can do that one with three kids at one piano. The lowest part is that dum bum 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 bum. The melody is secundo. It's in the middle. And then the terzo or the top, whatever, just has a little counter melody and some more simple parts. So because, trios are kind of new for me. I've only written about six of them so far. So I'm still understanding how that fits, how you can put three kids at a piano. I did a trio for my Halloween recital. You know, I can just talk. You just get me going. I'm getting excited.
I love it. Keep going.
I have a little trio I did called We Three Goblins. And I have three pianos that I bring. It's our Halloween recitals at the park. And so I bring three keyboards down there. And I had nine kids, three at each piano. And we played this one. And it was super fun. We just really had a blast with that one.
I love that. That's so fun. You were talking about the Funky Gecko. Is that the one that uses body percussion?
Yeah, well, I'm big on body percussion. I like to get kids involved, even if they're younger and they can't play everything. You know, I'm on multi-level ensembles. You know, I'll have them snapping or clapping or saying something. But yeah, Funky Gecko, it's not written in, but at the beginning, I ask people to slap their legs, you know, because I don't know. I'm just crazy like that. So here we go. Here's just the beginning of Funky Gecko. About Funky Gecko, actually.
Tell me.
It started off its life as a jazz band ensemble.
Okay.
And we performed it in 2020 with the Heart of Texas Concert Band, their jazz ensemble, in a concert. And it's on YouTube if you want to see it. But it was so popular and people loved it. And they said, man, we'd love to play that on piano. So I wrote it out for piano. But it's inspired by Chameleon. I don't know if you're familiar with Chameleon. It's a Herbie Hancock tune, a funk tune. But when I was in high school, we played the Maynard Ferguson version of it. Okay. And I loved it so much. And then I was a middle school jazz band director. And I wanted my kids to play something similar, but that was too hard. So I didn't write this one then, but I wrote it later. Anyway, I thought, well, Chameleon is a lizard, right? And Gecko is a lizard. Well, I wanted to give credit that it was inspired by this first piece. So, and it's funky. So Funky Gecko is kind of how I came up with the name.
So fun. Oh man, I bet kids love playing that one.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So speaking of YouTube, I went down kind of a rabbit hole on your YouTube channel, and I really like the way you play all your own music for the videos, and you make them fun. You do costumes and you play duets with yourself. If our listeners haven't seen your YouTube channel, go check it out. Is that something that you enjoy doing, making the videos of your songs?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. I think creativity is kind of who I am, and I do everything myself. I make the cover art. I, you know, come up with the ideas, I edit. I mean, I love doing the videos because that's a good way for people to see what my music's all about. Well, it's also the mother of invention because I'm kind of out here in the country. And so it's hard to grab a piano teacher friend to come over and play with me. So, and I have quite a few good video skills filming myself and editing and things. So I just started filming myself. You know, that's really hard to do because
I believe it.
Multiple takes and get it set on the, and if you look at the early ones, they're the wall doesn't line up. I mean, it's, oh my God. So it's just super fun. Yeah. Like I said, when I turn 50, it's gotta be fun. I have one arrangement of, I think it's Don't Stop Believin'. And I actually dressed up for the secundo. I dressed up like Howard Stern. I have a big wig and pilot sunglasses. And I have actually, there's a skit with it too, when I talk, and then myself as the primo is this 1980s big shoulder pads. You know, I was around in those times. So I just went into my closet and got a big shoulder pads, red jacket and pearls. And so I walk up to myself and I say, oh, I'm so happy to play this duet with you. And then the Secunda goes, yeah, babe, let's play, you know, something stupid. And I put that out about 3 years ago before people really knew me. And they were like, what is this? This is weird. So I kind of hid it, but it's still up there if you look for it. I think it's still Stop Believing. Yeah, I know. I know. And I've got Old Time Rock and Roll was another fun one that I did with myself. I dressed up the Primos like a 50s chick with the low scarf and the leather jacket for the Secundo. It should be fun, right?
Absolutely. Well, you definitely have made it fun. So can you take us behind the scenes of your composing a little bit? Do you compose on paper? Do you have your favorite software? What's your process for composing songs?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. I think, like, I'll say it again. I'm going to go back to deciding what the idea is first is really key. And I've only been writing like that for the last 4 years before I just kind of sat down and wandered around and said, what does that sound like? I don't know. So if you start with a focus, that's really important. Deciding where to go. And then brainstorming. What does that musical idea sounds like? You know, so for instance, maybe Sweet Reflections is one of my galactic thing. It's a little ballad in there. So, it's got to sound pretty. Well, what key does that say to me? Well, I put it in the key of F, you know, because I think it's sweet. Then I look for the image for the artwork to kind of that and further inspires me. Once I have a title and an idea of what I'm trying to express, I look for an image and that further says, I'm going to describe this. And then I sit down to the piano and noodle and I use my voice memo on my phone and I just play. And then I go back and say, that's cool, because you never know when the cool stuff's going to happen, right? So I use that, and then I listen to it, and as the idea kind of gets formed, then I come to the computer, and I'll have to throw in a little aside. I still love to write on paper. Folks can't see this, but I've got a bunch of letters and stuff. My whole music composition degree was all on paper and pencil and pen, because we just didn't have computers then. That was 1987, but I use Finale forever, you know, probably 30 years, and it makes it look so professional. It's easy to edit and very powerful. So I come over, I get it down on the computer. Then I'll usually print and take it back to the piano and edit. Oh, well, add this here, do this here, you know, letters and stuff. I write in letters. I don't always draw the notes, you know, but C, B, whatever. After I do that, strangely enough, I make my recording next, because I make an example recording of everything I write. And so when I make that recording, I use GarageBand or Logic, and I play it on my little handy dandy Clavinova here. This 1994. I play it into that, and I can edit the recording to make it sound exactly like I think it should. And then that recording helps me with the engraving process, you know, like, is it crescendo here? Is it retard? It's much easier to see what I'm trying to say instead of thinking that first, because I can just play anything, you know, it's easier. So then after I get my recordings done, I usually write out the pedagogical aspects of what this song is. What are we learning? Why are we learning? What teaching tips can I give teachers? What pertinent information do they need to see at a glance? What key is it in? How fast? How many pages? You know, things like that. And I get that ready and get it on the website. And then I do the video.
Okay.
Because the video is really part of marketing. And then that's a whole nother story that's overwhelming. But I do all of that too.
So that's... You are a busy lady.
Thank you.
I really like that you mentioned again that concept of deciding on an idea, because I think that's a good thing to take to our students too, when we're encouraging songwriting and improvisation composition, to decide on an idea first. I know that I've made that mistake with my students of like improvise in this key or whatever it is, make up a song in this key without them having an idea. And I think it goes better if they have the idea first, huh?
Yeah. In my new lead sheet book, I actually give you 6 improvising/composition activities. In the back, there's easy to print resource, and it tells the concept at the top. The teacher could just print this one page. And for instance, this one is the last one in the book. It's called Your Song. You can call it whatever you want, but it's an idea of understanding chord progression. And on the previous page, I gave you a whole bunch in the book. I gave you a whole bunch of suggestions like, well, let's try this as a ballad. And here's your chord progression, C, E minor, F, G, D minor, A minor, G7. There I used it, G7 and then C. But I was trying to keep it simple. And I've given them all these tools over, 76 pages in the book. And so now they can try it out on their own. And I always give them both staffs. Lead sheets don't typically have both staffs, but I wanted them to write a melody and I want them to figure out what left-hand pattern they're using. So there's not a concept here, except that it's an exercise to get started. Once they've done it a few times, they might say, well, I want my song to be about pizza, and pizza might sound different than I love you. You know what I mean? Once you get that concept, that directs, so what key it's going to be and what time signature and those kinds of things. Yeah. So as we're working on exercises for students, it's kind of strict, right? Because there's do this, do this, do this. But once they start doing that, then they can branch out and say, what do I want to say now?
Thank you for walking us through that. I like that you've included that in your new books. Can you talk to us a little bit if a teacher is new to your supplemental repertoire? You said you have 400 compositions or over 400. Where would a teacher start? Where would be a good place for them to start with your music?
Yeah, that's a great question. My website, I think, is the most all-inclusive place to start. Originals and public domain arrangements are there. I have solos, duets, trios, multi-level ensembles, and the method books. I have other educational things as well. I started doing these lead sheets. I call them educational lead sheets, but I've done about 8 of those already, and now I'm putting it together in a book. But if they start with my website, SusanStaplesBellMusic.com, they'll really get a good sense of what's happening. If they're looking for popular titles like Top Gun and Don't Stop Believing, that sort of stuff, that's at Sheet Music Plus. You go over there and you just type in my name and it'll show you I have 85 over there. If you want to just sit back and listen, YouTube is great. Susan Staples Bell, Piano Sheet Music to Inspire. That's I don't know how many hours I've got over there now, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a music teacher who has influenced you, and either as a pianist, a composer, or a teacher?
Yeah, I love that question because it made me think about these folks. I've had thousands of piano lessons over the years. Like I said, I started when I was 6, and it was an older lady that was really, but about 5th grade, I wanted to stop lessons. And so my parents bribed me with jazz lessons. And this older gentleman lived in our city. I'm from Corpus Christi. And he was the coolest guy. He smoked a cigar and we were out on the porch. It was a glassed-in porch. And he taught me about improvising and chord symbols and understanding that sort of stuff. And I think that hugely shaped where I am today. Understanding that there's some freedom playing that way. Actually, it was a little hard to go back to traditional lessons. I mean, I was still taking traditional lessons in high school. I was studying at the local college, and I was a piano major in Trinity University when I went to get my music ed degree. I always say music's not written in stone. I look at a piece of music, and I just change it on the spot. And that's not too popular with some choir directors, especially.
Right.
Yeah. So Red Camp was huge influence on my life and just really changed me into a new direction. The other person I want to recognize is Mr. Ram Chavez, who we're still friends on Facebook to this day. He's my junior high band director. I played clarinet for over 20 years as a student, but also I was a band director in a middle school for a while. And Mr. Chavez used to make arrangements of music on the radio, but also like Star Wars, which were big and popular at the time. And so what that said to me is that music can be created by people today. In my piano lessons, that was such a contrast, right? We're playing Mozart and all of these dare I say, dead Europeans, right?
Yes.
So that was such a new concept. Piano world was over here and the band world was very much contemporary. Let's do new stuff. Let's be exciting and energizing. So I think my band experience really brings that to piano because, I mean, I've done it all. I've been a choir director in church. I've been handbell directors. I've been pianist, organist. You know, over the 30 years of moving around, whatever music job was needed, I took it, you know? So I think that idea that music can be created today is really inspired me in some of the decisions I made in my life. And so I want to recognize those two teachers.
Thank you for sharing about them. Speaking of creating music today, do you have anything coming soon in the future that we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, gosh. Thanks for asking. I'm going to backtrack just a tiny bit. January, I came out with Castle Tales Volume 3, inspired by cathedrals. We just took, in October, our church choir went to Ireland. And I was the accompanist, and we actually performed in Christ Church Cathedral. And I'd already written Dublin Daydream, but I was able to play it in our concert and talk to the Irish people about how much they've influenced my love of music for them. And so Cathedrals is really, Volume 3 is really cool. I came out with Galactic Adventures, which is a fun space-inspired elementary collection. I've also done, this is all since January. You know, I don't sleep much. I have Castle Tales Volume 4 because someone came out and said, hey, what about the elementary kids? So it's actually for the easy elementary, maybe one line melody. There's some teacher duets that go with that. So that's really popular. Then I launched into my lead sheet book. So that took the greater part of, was it just March? I guess the middle of February to March, I worked on that. And I'm getting ready to start book 2, focusing on the major scales. I don't know. I kind of like to be inspired by piano teachers, too. If they come to me and say, I want to hear a collection about cowboys. I don't know, you know, so I sometimes run with ideas like that because I love teachers to tell me what they're interested in. And I love to see students playing my pieces. That just brings me such joy. It makes it all worth it, you know, really.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have any original pieces on the horizon at the moment, but we'll see.
I'm sure you'll come up with something very soon. Susan, I could talk to you all day. And you're so fun. This has been such a treat to have you on this show. And I know that listeners are going to want to learn more about you. You briefly mentioned some of your websites. Can you just tell listeners again where they can find you and your music?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to start, SusanStaplesBellMusic.com. That's my website. And I also wanted to mention there's a page dedicated on there to all the backing tracks that are available for my pieces. So if you look under All Music, this sheet music is all my music. You can search by, oh, just solos and things like that. And then you can see the backing tracks. I've also got a blog on there, just all kinds of information, teaching tips and stuff. Oh, and if you go to my website, you can sign up for a free piece of music. It's a little arrangement of all the Pretty Little Horses. It's just really beautiful. Mm. But if you're really kind, you'll accept my Monday emails where I send you teaching tips and more information. So I'd love for folks to do that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm at Sheet Music Plus. If you just search my name, Susan Staples Bell Music, it should come up. And then, of course, there's YouTube. So it's all over the place.
All right. And we'll put the links in the show notes as well. Thank you, Susan, for taking a break from composing to talk to us today. It's been such a pleasure talking with you and having you on the show today.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Susan. If you're looking for more resources to teach songwriting and composition to your students, check out the many resources inside of Top Music Pro. You'll find courses on teaching pop piano, songwriting, four-chord composing, teaching the 12th bar blues, and much more. Also, be sure to check out this month's completely free issue of Top Music Magazine that is all about songwriting. There are tons of valuable tips and ideas in there for you. That's the end of the show this week. Next week on the podcast, I'll be talking with Popmatic's creator, Tony Parlapiano, so I know you won't want to miss that episode. I'm Rachel Aaron, and you've been listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. I'll talk with you soon.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today.